Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about the different types of depression. And this is going to be another one of those discussions that's a little bit, it's frustrating because what the literature, or not really literature, just what the internet will give you is vary so greatly that you have no idea. I don't know how people get good information.
The most confusing part of this for me as we were putting together today's podcast is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual is what we use
right.
to make a diagnosis.
Right.
We all live by that. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter where you live in the United States, you use the DSM-5.
Right.
Psychiatry, psychology, so everybody uses to make an official diagnosis, mm-hmm. use this book. Well, as you mentioned earlier this week, the DSM-5 lists depressive disorders as a separate category.
Right.
Past versions had mood disorders.
Right.
And there were several kinds of depressive disorders. But now the depressive disorders is its own category.
Mm-hmm.
And bipolar disorder is a separate category.
Right.
Okay. So in DSM-5, under types, you have 8 types.
Right.
They specify there are 8 types of depressive disorders.
Right.
You have a diagnosis, but you specify which, and you can have one of the 8.
Right.
When you go into the when you go to the internet, mm-hmm. and you say, what are the types of depression?
Right.
You're not getting the DSM-5 version.
Right.
You're getting that person's, I don't know whether it's their clinical perspective,
yeah.
their training, because frequently they're psychologists and physicians
right.
who are saying these are the types of depression that
right.
there are, but they're not consistent with DSM-5. So
right.
be very, very cautious.
Right.
When you look up depression on the internet, you may not be getting the DSM-5 version,
right.
and you might end up with a different type of diagnosis.
Right. You know, as you said, the DSM-5 has 8
right.
diagnoses specifically within that category of
mm-hmm.
depressive disorders. But when you look online, you find websites that say anywhere from 3 to 12
types.
Different types of
right.
Depressive disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're not careful, you know, clearly it's not going by the DSM-5. And so they're
right.
mentioning things and it's not, I mean,
they're not incorrect.
Right.
I mean, the simplest way to look at depression is endogenous and exogenous.
Right.
Either you have something or something caused it.
Okay? Right.
That's one way to look at it. So that's not inaccurate.
Right.
It's just not the DSM-5 categorization
right.
system.
Right.
Okay. So whether you're talking about 3 or 5 or 7 or 8 or 9 types.
Or 12
types, it's not that it's inaccurate. It's just not consistent with DSM.
It
might there might be some overlap. If you have 12 types, the 8 might be in that 12.
Mm-hmm.
But please know you're not looking at the official diagnosis,
right.
okay?
Right.
And that's the confusion. And I was reading, I would go through these different websites, and it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 websites, and each one has a different number of types.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't explain why they've chosen these 8 or these 7 or these 5.
Right.
Okay. They don't say this is what we do in our clinical practice.
Right.
I don't know why different authors, different writers use
mm-hmm.
different names and different numbers, but please you know, it's an important issue.
Right.
So be careful.
Now, when it comes to the 8 listed in the
mm-hmm.
in the DSM-5, there are 4 that will be very brief that we'll even talk about, because there's these 4
yeah.
categories that just about every, or there are 4 diagnoses that in any category that you look at,
mm-hmm.
whether it's depressive disorders or bipolar and related disorders or
right.
ADHD even,
mm-hmm.
there are these 4 specific diagnoses, and that is in this case, substance or medication induced depressive right. disorder, depressive disorder due to a medical condition,
right.
other specified depressive mm-hmm. disorders, and unspecified depressive disorders.
Right.
And so those are, again, when we talk about bipolar disorder next week, there's going to be substance or medication induced bipolar and related disorders. There's bipolar and related disorders due mm-hmm. to a general medical condition. So
right.
those four are there. And they're really a opportunity to make a diagnosis when you know sort of this specific type of relationship.
Right.
So there is, for example, a phenomenon of, you know, as one might expect, where a person becomes clinically depressed as a result of acquiring some terminal mm-hmm. illness.
Right.
And so you would diagnose that person with major depressive disorder due to general medical condition.
Right.
And so it makes sense in that circumstance. And so, again, whether it's a substance or medication induced or it's right. related to a medical condition, or the person has symptoms but they don't quite meet criteria for any of the other mm-hmm. diagnoses, then that would be the either specified or unspecified.
Right.
So of the eight, those four are sort of... in the event that it doesn't meet the other four criteria, other four diagnoses, maybe one of those four will catch it.
Right, and that's why when you are trying to make this diagnosis of depression, it is helpful to have a medical or physical exam
mm-hmm.
because there are some medical conditions
right.
that are highly or are considered causes of depression.
Right.
You know, we talked about those yesterday. And so you want to rule all those out mm-hmm. because if you have depression because of a medical condition, that's one diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have any of those medical conditions, then you're looking at a different type of depression diagnosis.
Right.
So, yeah, be aware of these four. They exist
right.
in many,
right.
and almost all of the yeah. other psychological
right.
Categories. Diagnoses. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the four main diagnoses, let's start with... we could start with major depressive disorder.
I agree.
Because why not just start there?
Right.
And major depressive disorder is sort of that classic what we think of with major depression.
Right.
And that is, you know, a person has a major depressive episode. They're, we'll talk later this week about what the diagnostic criteria are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the person meets diagnostic criteria for depression with the sadness and anhedonia or,
right.
you know, changes in eating and sleeping habits and those right. kinds of things. But it is a very traditional way we think about depression.
Right, right. But even within that single category, mm-hmm. they have lots of specifiers.
Lots of specifiers. You know.
And so,
postpartum depression.
Right.
So major depressive disorder with postpartum onset is what they would call that. And so
seasonal affective disorder. We used to have a separate diagnosis called seasonal affective disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's lumped into major depressive disorder.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But yet, if you look at the other types, sometimes seasonal affective disorder is listed as a separate type,
right.
when technically, according to DSM-5, it's not a separate category.
Mm-hmm.
It's a separate, it's a specific diagnosis of right. major depressive disorder. A
specific type of major depressive disorder.
Right, yeah. right.
Another one of the four main that we're mm-hmm. going to talk about, it was previously referred to as dysthymia.
Right.
That's one of those words I like, dysthymia. Right.
Yeah.
There's not many words that have two Y's in it.
Good for Scrabble.
Yeah. Kashyyyk is another one, but that has to do with Star Wars, and you wouldn't understand that one. That's the planet that Chewbacca grew up on, just so you know. But dysthymia,
that in the category of clutter.
Dysthymia is a, I'm going to ignore that, is now referred to as persistent depressive disorder.
That's
and
right.
Because, and that's because part of the diagnostic criteria make it, you know, differentiates it from major depressive disorder. With major depressive disorder, the symptoms have to be present at a clinical level for at least 2 weeks, okay? For dysthymia, the symptoms have to be present, though not at quite as severe quite as impairing of a level as major depressive disorder, but they have to be present for at least a year in children and adolescents, and at least 2 years in adults.
I want to see the razor they use to split this hair.
I know.
Because the obvious question, major depressive disorder is at least 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But major depressive disorder is a persistent condition.
Right. Well, and here's where I think that that razor cut comes in. With dysthymia, or persistent depressive disorder, as compared to major depressive disorder, the prevalence of the symptoms aren't quite as high. So with So with major depressive disorder, the symptoms have to be present most of the day, nearly every day. Five out of nine symptoms, most of the day, nearly every day. For at least 2 weeks.
Right.
For dysthymia or persistent, the symptoms have to be present more days than not. So that's where that line is being drawn, is that if you, most of the day, nearly every day, you're talking about at least, you're probably talking about things like 5 out of 7 days or 6 out of 7 days. More days than not would be, you know, maybe 4 out of 7 days, or, you know, it comes and goes periodically throughout the day, but it's not necessarily most of the day. And it's for that reason that persistent depressive disorder is often referred to as a mild depression.
It's not that it's not that the symptoms are mild.
Right.
Okay, and that's
one of the... You tell a person with dysthymia that they have mild disorder.
Right.
It's not. I mean, they still feel it.
But they're not as persistent.
Right. Yeah. Is it difficult to find a word for that?
Right. Because you still have the same intensity of symptoms.
You still have the same symptoms, right?
Right. But in major depression, you have them all the time, or mm-hmm. most, you know,
almost all the time,
for a 2 week period, at least a two week period. Now you could have it for 8 years.
Right.
You could be depressed mm-hmm. for years and years and years.
Right.
Okay. So we don't want to confuse the time issue.
Right.
Okay. You're still going to have the same symptoms. Mm-hmm. They're still going to be as severe. Mm-hmm. So don't think of dysthymia as depression light.
Right.
It's not depression light.
Right.
So it's different than that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's tough. That said, I mean, I give this diagnosis. The group that I tend to give this diagnosis to probably most often would be teenagers.
Teenagers, exactly.
Because that, and I used to refer to it as that sort of teenage depression.
Teenage depression,
because
right.
teenagers experience it this way, where they have that sort of underlying depressive theme mm-hmm. in their life that persists for, you know, years
right.
sometimes throughout right. high school and throughout
right. the but it may come and go.
Right.
Okay, and that's right. the difference.
They have times where they have a great time.
Yeah, if they have a girlfriend right. or a boyfriend, you know, if they have a nice relationship,
right.
then the symptoms right. may disappear altogether.
Right.
Or things go well, they start to do well in their courses, or they make mm-hmm. the football team, or something good happens to them, then the right. symptoms might disappear.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, whereas if they're clinically major depressive disorder,
right.
nothing disappears.
Right. Yeah, remember we talked about that the other day.
Right.
The third diagnosis, specific diagnosis mm-hmm. in the depressive disorders, is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And this diagnosis first came about a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and it was initially met with some pretty interesting criticism.
That's right.
Because there was a medication for this disorder before mm-hmm. it was a disorder.
Right.
When Prozac was approaching the end of its patent. Right. When it was yeah. going to go generic, right. The creators of Prozac formulated another form of fluoxetine that treated premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even a diagnosis until DSM-5. So
right.
they, you know, people have talked about the fact that this was a diagnosis that was created for a medication.
It was a solution looking for a problem.
Right.
They had this drug and they said, what can we use it for?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, let's use it for this.
Now, that doesn't negate the reality.
The presence.
Right.
Of it. Exactly.
Because it is really an important disorder or condition to consider whenever you're looking at things, because there are absolutely individuals for whom the depressive symptoms only come about mm-hmm. at that time in their biological cycle.
And I like the word dysphoric. Mm-hmm. You like the word dysthymia. I like the right. word dysphoric. It's a useful word, but it's it's the feelings that you get mm-hmm. before you start. And there's this sexist baggage yeah. hanging onto this thing that, oh, so you're saying that, no, we're not saying that. But we do see patients who do have this, mm-hmm. it's called PMDD. And to them it's real.
Right.
Again, there's nothing frivolous,
right.
there's nothing sexist. It's a real problem
right.
that they have. And they really, they and their families mm-hmm. struggle with this.
And I think that it is important to note that I think that there will be changes to this mm-hmm. in upcoming editions because
right.
you know, there's more and more research and people talking about a very mm-hmm. similar cycle that men have
right. That's right.
on a monthly basis mm-hmm. because men experience highs and lows in their mood
right.
that are somewhat predictable mm-hmm. Based upon some of those fluctuations. And so
right.
it may end up changing so that it's not so
gender specific,
but it's mm-hmm. more hormonal.
It's hormonal nature. Patterns. We
right.
have these. We have these circadian rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
These.
Mm-hmm.
We have daily rhythms. We have monthly rhythms. So there are these cycles
right.
that our bodies have. We have body cycles, body rhythms is
right.
what I'm looking for, biorhythms.
Right.
And this is one of them. And
right.
so, yeah, it needn't be seen only as a female
right.
Disorder.
Right. Now, the last one is also a very new
right.
diagnosis.
Most, right.
And it's,
yeah.
it too was greeted with some controversy,
mm-hmm.
and that is disruptive mood dysregulation disorder. And it's interesting to me that they chose to put it in the depressive disorders
right.
since we have bipolar disorder separate.
Mm-hmm.
But DMDD, disruptive mood dysregulation disorder, was the researchers and clinicians' response to a significantly increased
right.
Prevalence of early onset bipolar disorder.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We in our early, not early career, but when we were first starting working
mm-hmm.
in private practice together and things like that, one of the things, our focus was on this early onset
right.
bipolar disorder, or children, very young children, even as early as
mm-hmm.
3 years old,
mm-hmm.
diagnosed and treated for bipolar disorder.
Right.
And there was a lot of criticism about that practice
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you mentioned yesterday that, you know, up until just a couple of decades ago, people didn't even accept the idea that children could be depressed.
Right.
That
mm-hmm.
was a purely adult phenomenon. But
right.
the, you know, in the 90s and then in the early 2000s, it really started to come
mm-hmm.
out with a lot of children being diagnosed and treated for bipolar disorder.
Right.
And people didn't like that because, you know, to be honest, children were not meeting criteria for traditional bipolar
That's right.
disorder.
That's right. They would get this other, they would use the, everybody agreed that we would use the diagnosis, but
right.
it was sort of a handshake, you know, a gentleman's
right.
agreement that, okay, let's wink
mm-hmm.
at the diagnosis and go ahead and use it for children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Didn't make it, but it didn't make it a real diagnosis, but at least it solved the problem.
Right.
But Alan Liebenluft, who
right.
was the head of this committee at NI, National Institutes of Mental Health,
mm-hmm.
Conducted the research at the national level on early onset bipolar disorder, and they made a list of criteria rather than
mm-hmm.
using early onset bipolar disorder, made a list of new criteria
mm-hmm.
and came up with a new name
right.
to use for these same symptoms.
Right.
Okay.
Right, so we have DMDD, and it's basically characterized it by chronic irritability,
right.
Agitation, explosiveness, and some
mm-hmm.
of those kinds of things.
Right.
And we'll go into those more on Friday's podcast when we talk about the assessment
right.
of depressive disorders. But DMDD is very new. It's primarily diagnosed in children,
exactly,
and
mm-hmm.
it's even as young as, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old,
right.
But it's very chronic in nature. And this is, you know, we talk about temperament as being just
mm-hmm.
sort of who you are.
Right.
There's a lot of times when, and in fact, one of some of the early names that they were giving to this
right.
disorder were involved temperament.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it was disruptive temperament.
Right.
Dysregulation disorder, something like
mm-hmm.
that. I can't remember now,
mm-hmm.
but it was, yeah.
No, it's also characterologic. It's who you are. Right. And it appears early, and it's chronic. You know, you have to chronic irritability and chronic this and chronic that. So they're trying to capture this nation, this the notion that this is a chronic condition. It doesn't come and go.
Right.
Okay, it doesn't just appear in a single setting or with a single person. Mm-hmm. It's more pervasive and it's more the duration is longer.
Right. So that's them. That's the four. And then, of course, we've already talked about the other four as it relates to specific causes, medical, substance-induced things.
Right. So we talk about the other types, but within those four, you will find the other types that are listed. Okay, so just be aware that DSM-5 is very specific about what the eight categories, eight types are.
Right.
Okay, so be aware of that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, that is it for today then.
Yeah.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.